Assemblies of God has something we call 16 fundamental truths. There are things that all Assemblies of God ministers will agree that we believe that they are scriptural. And there's four of those that are called core doctrines. Those core doctrines are salvation, what we just watched, and divine healing, the baptism in the Holy Spirit, and the second coming of Christ. Those are four core doctrines. But what is a doctrine? What does doctrine even mean? Many people don't like the word doctrine because they just want everything to be fluid. They want it to be changeable over time. Whatever the wind of culture is, they want their belief system to be able to change for that. But doctrine is important. In fact, in 1 Timothy 4, verse 16, Paul warns Pastor Timothy, and he says, "Watch your life and doctrine closely. Persevere in them, because if you do, you will save both yourself and your hearers." The great Christian author A.W. Tozer wrote this about doctrine. He says, "We have gotten accustomed to the blurred puffs of gray fog that pass for doctrine in the churches and expect nothing better. From some previously unimpeachable sources are now coming vague statements consisting of milky mixture of scripture and science and human sentiment to which is true to none of its ingredients, because each one cancels the other one out. Little by little, Christians these days," he said, "are being brainwashed. One evidence is that increasing numbers of them are becoming ashamed to be found unequivocally on the side of truth. They say they believe, but their beliefs have been so diluted to be impossible of clear definition. Moral power has always accompanied definite beliefs." He says, "Great saints have always been dogmatic. We need a return to gentle dogmatism that smiles while it stands stubborn and firm on the word of God that lives and abides forever." Can you agree with that statement? Yeah, we need to stand on the word of God. Sound doctrine is vital. It means we need to know what the scripture says, and we need to hang on like bulldogs to truth, no matter what the crazy world out there wants us to believe. We need to hang on to that. So this morning we looked at the doctrine of salvation from the very top of the Assemblies of God. The word salvation is talking about the necessity of us to be rescued from the consequences of our sin and God's provision for doing that. You might be thinking, well, this is so basic. I mean, I've been saved for many years. This must be for somebody else, right? But stick with me, because we're going to talk about three aspects of salvation: how we get it, what we do with it, and what it will look like in our lives. If you have notes that you're taking this morning, write down number one. Number one aspect of salvation is how we get it. And I want you to write this: give up. Now you might think, give up? That doesn't sound right. Last week, Pastor Cheryl was telling us to hold on to hope, and you'd be right. Those kind of things you need to hold on to. But the give up I'm talking about is give up on running from God. If you want salvation, you're going to have to give up some false ideas. One is, you're going to have to give up pretending that sin has some great value, because it doesn't. Life without Christ and life in sin simply is not the good life God wants for you. In fact, Jesus said in John 10:10, many of you could quote this, "The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but I have come to that they may have life and have it to the full." That's what Jesus wants for us. We need to give up on a life chasing the smoke and mirrors that the world has to offer. It has nothing to offer. Next, we need to give up pretending that we don't really believe God exists. There's a lot of pseudo-atheism out there right now. But deep in their hearts, even the staunchest, most defiant, even militant atheist knows that God exists, because nature has revealed that to him. But they just don't want to think about the consequences of their sin, what that might mean. They might have to be accountable for their actions. So give up pretending that God doesn't exist. The next thing, give up looking at the shortcomings of the people around you, the other Christians, and using that as an excuse to avoid dealing with your own sin and giving your own sin to Jesus. The bottom line is that all Christians are sometimes hypocrites. Did you know that? Are you sometimes a hypocrite? Because none of us can fully live up to God's holy standards. So we need to give up on that. Next, we need to give up rejecting the free gift of Jesus. The free gift he's given us. We need, the gift is waiting for us. We need to take it. We need to enjoy it. That's the gift he's given us. Give up saying no to God and say yes to Jesus. Now some need to give up pretending that they're good enough to get to heaven on their own. Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and come fall short of the glory of God." You know what I mean? There's an idea that I'm not a bad person. There are a lot of people that are worse than me. But you know what? The word says that there is none righteous, no, not one, and God will not grade on a curve. He will grade, he will judge by what you do with his son, Jesus. Some need to give up. Another thing is some need to give up hoping that there will be no penalty for sin. The word is clear. Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death." Separation from God is the horrible thing, the most horrible thing we can even imagine. If we reject Christ, we will pay that death penalty for ourselves, but we don't need to because Jesus paid it for us. Separation from everything good and everything of God is what it's described when it says that the wages of sin is death. So give up thinking you're good enough. And give up imagining you're too bad too. Give up imagining you're too bad. And that God could never love you, because he does, and he will forgive you. He will forgive you. Romans 5:8 said, "God demonstrates his own love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." Did you know that "us" includes you and I? Includes both of us, wherever we've been, whatever we've done. There's no sin so great that God's grace is not greater still. Isaiah 1:18 says this, "Come now, let us settle the matter, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red as crimson, they shall be like wool." He says, let's settle the matter. He will forgive. He does love you more than you can imagine. The rest of the verse, Romans 6:23, talks about the reality of the dilemma and the reality of God's response to that dilemma when it says, "The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." Salvation then is a free gift. Ephesians 2:8, "For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this not from yourselves. It is the gift of God." So give up. Give up rejecting the gift. Open that gift. Embrace it for yourself. Find out the riches that are in Christ that far surpass anything the world has to offer. Once you've given up all those things, number two is gear up. Gear up. You know, no matter what we do in life, it takes a lot of gear, doesn't it? When Dr. John goes to fix teeth, he'd be lost without his gear, right? When somebody goes to build something, they're lost without their gear. You go to cook dinner this afternoon, you're going to be lost without gear. So God has given us the gear we require. In fact, 2 Peter 1:3 says, "His divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. So God has provided all the gear we need, but it's up to us to put that gear to use, to apply that gear to our lives. Now, there's a good description of that gear in Ephesians 6. The ladies have been studying this in depth for some time, and it's talking about the armor of God, Ephesians 6, starting in verse 10. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, and against the spiritual forces of evil in heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Stand therefore, having fastened the belt of truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints. That's the gear. That's the gear God has provided us. He provided us a belt of truth, a breastplate of righteousness, shoes of peace, a shield of faith, a helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and the ability to pray in the power of the Spirit. As we read in 2 Peter, his divine power has given us everything we need. How do we do that? Psalm 119:11. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. Early when Africans were coming to Christianity, they were coming to faith, they were very faithful in their private devotions. Each one would head out into the jungle and to a separate spot in the thicket where they would pour out their heart to God. Over time, they would make a path, a beaten path, to this spot where they would pray. But as a result, if they started to neglect that prayer, if they started to neglect it, it was apparent to others, and they would kindly remind each other, "Brother, the grass is growing on your path. The grass is growing on your path." Is the grass growing on your path of your time with God? It's far too easy for us to get far too busy, and it's far too easy to neglect our need to gear up daily in God's presence. We need to gear up daily in his presence, dwelling on his word. Another aspect of gearing up is to make church attendance a top priority. Now, I know this isn't in vogue today. It's awfully quiet in here. But too many of you church attendance as optional. You know, if I feel like it, if there's nothing else going on, but commitment to gearing up at being at church is sorely lacking today. You know what? The world has encroached on the Lord's Day big time. It's just turned into another day of the week. When I was a kid, everything was closed on Sundays. You know what? It used to be sacred. It used to be sacred. Stores were closed, and they certainly wouldn't have kids' ball games on Sunday because they didn't want to keep people out of church. But, you know, they'd never gotten away with what they're doing a few years ago. But it's all the devil's deception to keep people out of fellowship. Why? Because we just begin to think we don't need it. It's vital that we stay connected to the body. God has designed us as Christians to live the Christian life in community, not on our own, to live in community. I will beat this drum as long as the Lord keeps me in the pulpit. But the thing is, I'm preaching to the choir, right? You need to gear up to your in church with your brothers and sisters. What was the attitude of the early church about that? Acts 2:42 says, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Verse 46 says, every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. These guys realized they needed to be together to be strong. And as a result of that dedication, what happened? People were coming to Christ daily. Now, for us today, if it's not practical to meet every day, we're not all within walking distance and all that kind of thing. But it is important that we gear up by being faithful to our church attendance. For some, this may be, it may be time to consider the next step of membership. Membership is making a commitment to buckle down and be make this your place of worship. Not only to worship, but to serve and put down some roots. In your bulletin, I believe this morning, there's an announcement that's been in there for a few weeks. And if you're considering becoming a member, you should sign up on the, over in the Welcome Center. And we were going to have a little lunch together and have a little meeting about that. And you can make up your mind whether you want to move forward on that. I'm here to tell you today, if we neglect to gear up all these things, if we neglect to do that, we're not going to have a successful time beating the pressures of life. You know what happens? Your spiritual walk goes in circles. You beat the same path around the same old sins, the same old frustrations to which you allowed yourself to be changed, chained. Now, we used to have horses, and we'd go to the mountains, and every once in a while I'd have to tie them to a tree. You know, and then but then they want to dig a hole with their hoofs, so then you got to put hobbles on their feet to keep them from digging a hole, digging up the tree, making a mess. So we did that. But you know what? As Christ followers, we sometimes chain and hobble ourselves to the same old patterns of sin because we're not faithful to gear up. We're not faithful to do what God has called us to do. We sang in church today, sin has no hold on me. Remember that? And break every chain. But really, is that true? Is it true for you? Or is it just nice lyrics to a song? It can only be true when we walk in obedience to God. We need to get geared up on His Word, geared up by the Spirit of God in His presence, geared up by meeting together, worshiping, praying, learning in one accord together. One final aspect, number three. After we've given up, after we gear up, number three is we need to grow up. Amen? Yeah. Amen. We need to grow up. To grow up spiritually is not optional. If you're not growing, you're dying. Without growth is death. Growing should be a natural result of doing what God asks us to do. Growing up is about living the life. All the time, not just talking about it. James 1:22 says, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in the mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But whoever looks intently at the perfect law that gives him freedom and continues it, but not forgetting what they have heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. What does it look like to grow up as a believer? 1 Peter 2:1 says, therefore get rid of all malice, all deceit, all hypocrisy, envy and slander, and every kind, like newborn babies, craves pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow up in your salvation. And verse 5 says, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Ephesians 4:1 says, as Prisoner of the Lord, then I urge you, live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Growing up is about moving ahead to a state of spiritual maturity, something that other people can see in us. When they look at our life, do they see us moving ahead? Do they see growth? 1 Corinthians 16:13 says, be watchful, stand firm in the faith, act like men. Be strong. Act like men. Now, ladies, act like a lady, right? Act like a lady. Did you know growing up is measurable? How is it measurable? It's measurable by the evidence of the fruit in our lives. Remember when we went through the fruit of the Spirit, Galatians 5:22-23, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Those are the fruits of the Spirit, and those are the measurable aspects of growth. Hebrews 6:16 says, therefore let us move beyond the elementary teachings about Christ and be taken forward to maturity. In other words, grow up. Amen? Amen. Pastor Cheryl, you know, come on up here. And what we're going to do now is I want you to examine where you're at in these three areas. There's always should be a now what and an ability to respond to the message that God has for us today. Is there some here this morning who need to give up? To give up running from God? To give in to all He has to offer? Maybe we have given up, but we have a great need to gear up. We've not been faithful to gear up in the things that God has provided us. His word, His presence, His family, His body. We maybe need to make a new commitment to gear up. But maybe we've given our lives to Christ. We've given up. We're geared up. But we really haven't been growing up. Maybe we're still acting like a baby believer. Maybe we're holding on to bitterness or unforgiveness or self-centeredness or secret sins, sins of rebellion, pride, self-righteousness. How about laziness, lethargy, sowing discord, whatever it may be? What I'd like to do this morning is open up these altars, and if any of these areas are an area you believe you need to make right with God, whether it be giving up and you want someone to pray with you for salvation this morning, I would be glad to do that. Or maybe it means that you want to repent of not gearing up, of not taking advantage of all that God has to offer you in your ability to grow. But maybe some of you just need to ask God to help you grow up this morning, to help you mature, to move on to maturity. Maybe we need to just quit playing church and make a commitment on this Memorial Day weekend, 2016, to start growing up, doing what we know is right, and repenting of something. I'd like to just open the altars this morning and allow you to just make some time, spend some time with Jesus. He loves you more than you can imagine. And wherever you're at in any of those spots, maybe you're doing good in all of them. I would pray that you are. But I just want to give opportunity, Lord, for you to spend time with the Lord this morning. And